Today is February 1st, taping Chamesh Megillot, and we are in Kohelet. And although the book was thought to be removed from the canon because it leads to minut and it's too pessimistic, there are numerous sections in the book that end with the prescription, Echol b'simcha lachmecha, words that you often see on the challah board when you pull out the knife. But those words come from Kohelet. Right? Not Mishlei or something, or some other very optimistic work. It comes from Kohelet because it says that those things are possible. It's possible to echo b'simcha lachmecha. I don't think that doing that exclusively is the right way to go about finding meaning in life. I said so in chapter 2. Right? But I do think that you will be better capable of resolving life's horrible inconsistencies if you do have some bread to eat with simcha. He may be referring to a euphemism with that pasuk. Right? A euphemism, according to Rashi, used twice in the Torah. Familiar? When Yisrael told his daughters, call him in and let him eat bread, Rashi says, maybe he'll marry one of you. And when Yosef told Potiphar's wife, how can I take you the way you want when your husband put me in charge of everything in his household except the bread that he eats? Ibn Ezra, by the way, both of those takes them literally, but Rashi takes them as a euphemism. So Echo b'simcha lachmecha means find a good woman, have a good life, a good marital life, share all of your struggles together, share your dreams together. Even if many of them go poof and many of them just disappear, at least you'll have each other. With you, I have everything. Without you, I have nothing. That's not fair. That's a pasuk in Mishlei. Right? No, but there are other pasuk in Kohelet that talk about enjoy life. Eat the good foods. You know. Don't disappear into squalor. Right? We don't have a necessity of a vow of poverty. There is a vow of Nazirut, which some in Chazal aren't so thrilled with, as you may know. Okay, so there are sections ending in this book with just enjoy with life's pleasures. Because if you do have that to back off on, it'll put you in a better position to deal with life's inconsistencies and life's miseries. Because there's death, there's sickness, there's poverty, right? There are accidents, right? There are volcanoes, there are earthquakes, there are hurricanes. You can live with the dread of knowing that between Mars and Jupiter are billions of rocks big enough to wipe out all of life on Earth if they break through their orbit and make their way here. They say those rocks used to be a planet of its own, but they blew up and they're orbiting. It's known as the asteroid belt. And it's astonishingly close to Earth, right? Go on, stop worrying. There's a captain at the wheel. We're doing okay. You know, relatively speaking, we're doing okay. Right? So deal with life's inconsistencies and life's discontents. And if you have the joy to look forward to some things, you'll be able to deal with those things. Because they're inevitable. Your enjoyment is not inevitable. Find them. Put yourself into a position to find them. Get help from others if you can't find them. But okay, fine. What's Yiras Hashem though? Throughout the book and the very end of the book, he says, but what you should make sure you have throughout is the fear of God. Not once does he talk about the love of God. Both are mitzvahs in the Torah, right? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira and Be'ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha. Okay. So we are raised to feel that Avas Hashem is like like la'avodes harav amanas shelo lekabel pras. I just do it because I love you, even if I get nothing in return. I love this thing inherently, not because of what it does for me. That's a reason to love a car. A commercial like that. I love what you do for me, Toyota. Right? Got it jumping in the air and he loves it. Oh, I love this car. No, you love yourself. I love herring. Right? I love herring because I love myself. If I loved herring, I'd let it stay in the water and live. Right? And serving the Shelo Amanas the Kaba Pras is you. Have you heard that? So that's source number 2a and 2b. It's the Rambam's Perush, and Perush HaMishnah to Pirkei Avos. Okay. And as I'm going to introduce you with these sources, the problem right away is that if that's what Shimush Amanas the Kaba Pras is Yiras Hashem, and Shimush Shelo Amanas the Kaba Pras is Avas Hashem, why does the Mishnah end Vihi Morah Shemayim Aleichem? There's a famous kashas that everybody asks on the Rambam. He essentially understands Avos Aleph Mishnah Gimel to be saying, don't serve Hashem out of Yira, serve Hashem out of Abba, but make sure you have Vihi Morah Shemayim Aleichem. So, there's a parish, I saw a parish of a rabbi from England called Yehoshua Heller. I saw him. He lived in the middle of the 20th century. He says that, well, you should prefer to serve Hashem out of Avas Hashem. But if you need to, serve Hashem out of fear of punishment, whatever it is, if that's what you need to do at the end of the mission, at the end of the day, right, in order to get you to do the right thing, that's also a milah. Right? So, however, much before that, there are other Perushim, Rabbeinu Yonah and others, who want to say that, no, it's not a contradiction because there are two types of Yiras Hashem. There's Yiras HaOnesh, which is a lower type, and there's Yiras HaChet, which is a very advanced type. Okay. There's Ava Tachtona, a lower Ava, where you love this because of what it does for you. There's a higher Ava, you love this thing inherently. So I have four things, you see it? An upper love, an upper fear, and a lower fear. What Rabbeinu Yonah says is that these four things, the lowest of the four is the lower fear. That's for Amaratzim, it's for children. Got to give them reward to get them to do what they're going to do, right? The next step after lower fear is lower love. Right? It's selfish, but it gets you connected to that thing, right? So when you start to court someone, what do you have in mind? This person has the potential to do for me. Right? That's a lower love. A higher love may be, this is a wonderful person who will bring out the best in me so that I can be the better person, that she can be a vehicle for me to be a better giver. Right? The question I pose to you is, I understand lower fear is lower than lower love. But what's higher? Higher fear or higher love? So here's where we stand. One is emotional, one is rational. What I'm trying to tell you is that it goes lower fear, lower love, higher era. There's nothing higher than that. Because it is based with rationale, not with emotion. Our basis of relationship with God in the desert was emotional. Shir Hashirim, Zachartu Lachesed Nurayich, Ahavas Klulosayich, Lechtecha Charev Amidbar Beretz Lo Zerua. Had we went into the desert to follow God based on Yira Elyona, probably wouldn't have made an Ega. We'll get to that shortly. How do I know that our walk into the desert was based on Ahava more than Yira? Well, Yirmiyahu says so. But more so, we were emotionally connected because of all the miracles we had seen. That's why we said Naseh v'Nishma. Tosfos asks, why would God have to hold a mountain above our heads and say Shamayu Kvaraskam to people who said Naseh v'Nishma? Tosfos gives an answer that they accepted Torah Shebichsav, they had to be coerced into accepting Torah Shebaal Peh. B'chor Shor says a very, very clever thing. He says that no, the miracles that they had seen, that's the Kfiya Sahar. The coercion is not this big mountain that's held over 3 million people. Right? I'll kill them all if they don't quickly take my Torah. No, the Kfiya Sahar, meaning it's interesting, Kofa means to cover them with a mountain, but also means to coerce them. Kfiya means to force somebody, right? The coercion, as it were, were the miracles they had seen. They didn't make a rational decision to say Naseh v'Nishma. It was hasty, right? After all, the Marna Avodah Zarah says that all the other Goyim asked what's in it before they accepted it, before they would accept it. They say with tongue in cheek, and they still didn't ask what's in it, they just asked how much it costs. Right, so accepted so blindly, Naseh v'Nishma, which would have been fine had they not made an Ega b'shar kala, like Rashi points out in the pasuk Dor lo emun bam at the end of Hazinu, in the beginning of Hazinu. And there's a Tosefta in Baba Kama in the fifth parak that says that it's an example of Gnevis Das. You Gonev Das Hashem by saying, of course, you can't steal God's money, but you made a false impression. You made it look like you were so much into it. And then the first problem, yeah, good. Okay, easy come, easy go. That's why the Torah uses Vayedaha Adam Eschava Ishto, not Vayehava Adam Eschava Ishto. Vayedaha, well, you have Yishkav, you know, you have Vayavo, but Vayedaha Adam Eschava Ishto means that the ultimate in the connection a man makes with his wife to create another child is Yediyah. Which may be why the Rambam first wrote Sefer Mada before Sefer Ahava. Right? Sefer Mada is the first of his 14 books, Sefer Ahava is the second. Can you have Ahava without Mada? Yes, you can. In fact, maybe when the first thing you have to do when you meet someone is to be touched emotionally by that person. That's why Rashi sets up the whole thing with Rivka, that Eliezer first sees a miracle. He sees the water rise out of the pail. Right? So the Medrash, that's, you know, that's where we're working. But to Rashi, it's because the other girls, it says, Shoavos Mayim. By Rivka, it just says it's a Malayas Kadosh. She didn't have to show off like the other girls. Right? So he too, the first thing he gets, his connection to Rivka, is an emotional connection, the miracle. But then he catches himself, right? And he has to test her for Chesed also. He was going to give her the money, the gift right away. She's Mulamenes Benissim. Of course she's good for Yitzchak. But then he caught him and said, no. Mulamenes Benissim is not the basis of a relationship. Okay. And as to be, is she Balas Chesed? Then I can make a rational decision whether she's for Yitzchak. Right? Okay, So that's what Yiras Hashem refers to the two types. Let's look through all of these sources. Right? Okay. First, the first source. Ha'ekel ha'nechbad v'hanara hazeh mitzvah la'ahavo u'liyira oso. She'emar b'efter se'shem al-kecha v'nemar se'shem al-kecha tira.
Okay, so
It's interesting because he started off Heyachi Aderech Lavaso Beyira So. When you contemplate God's majesty and his greatness, he says, Miyad Hu Ohev. Mishabek, what about the... So he loves him, you should say, and he fears him. Right? And then he doesn't mention the word Yira for till the end, for the whole rest of Halacha. What happened to Yira? You've mentioned Yira in the first Halacha. Lahavo li Yira. Ve'yachi derech lavaso b'yira so. Right? Could be the Rambam is like protecting himself because he writes elsewhere in his writings. Like here in the Perish HaMishnah. That the guy who serves God from Almanas to Kaba Pras is doing so mitam Yira. Okay, Mor Nevuchim has. I'll get to the psukim I wrote at the top in a minute, but if you take a look at the third page. It says, Al Yomar Adam, page source number 9. Al Yomar Adam, Hareini Osem Mitzvahs HaTorah Ba'usek B'chochmasa, Kedesha Akabel Kol HaBrachos HaKsuvos Ba, O Kedesha Ezkel L'Chaylam Haba. This is just putting into the Mishnah Torah what he elucidated in Pirkei Avos. Ve'frosh min ha'averos she'hizhira Torah mehen, Kedesha Anatzel min ha'klolos HaKsuvos B'Torah, O Kedesha Lo HaKareis M'chaylam Haba. Do I have to translate? You know this, right? Yeah. Ain ra'ui la'avod es Hashem al ha'derech zeh. Sha'oved al derech zeh hu oved mi'ira. Ooh. Ve'ein ma'alas ha'nevi'im, lo ma'alas ha'chachomim. Ve'ein ovdim Hashem al derech zeh el ha'me'oretz v'anoshim. Ve'aktanim, Hashem ha'chan chenosan la'avod mi'ira. Ad shetar v'da'aton v'yavdu me'ava. Ha'oved me'ava, o'sek b'torah v'mitzvahs v'olich v'nesivus ha'chach. What's going on here? In Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, he said, Ava and Yira seems to be when you misponein and you contemplate God's majesty, right? And here he's going the opposite direction. What's going on? So take out your brisket thumbs and you say, that's Ava El Yonah, that's Ava Tachtona. All right? And it's Pashut Mara. Okay? I mean, look, there's a pasuk in Mishlei, Ayelet Ahavim B'yalat Chen Dadeha Yiravucha, Bechol eight ba'ahavato tishge tamid. You should be constantly in love with her. Right? Rashi quotes, V'isi b'divrei Rav Moshe Darshan, tishge ta'asok tamid, v'hulashon aravi. Nice? Because what does it look like in the Pasha Pshat? Ba'avato tishge tamid. Right? As a tishge, look at the Yerushalmi, source number 7 underneath. What happened to Rish Lakish? Rish Lakish minhago beoraisa sagin havi nafik leila bar mitchuma deshabsa v'hu lo yada l'kayim mashneamar ba'avasa tishge tamid. Whoa! What happened? Rish Lakish was taking a walk, a stroll on Shabbos, and he was so engrossed in his Torah. Now, it could be that he was walking with someone else, but doubtful, because then that person should have known. He was just talking to himself in Torah. He was contemplating Torah in his own mind, so in love with Hashem and contemplating all of Hashem's greatness and vastness and his infinite knowledge in Torah. Right? So what did he do? He walked outside the Tchum of Shabbos. Gemara discusses what happens if you purposely walk outside the Tchum, if you accidentally walk outside the Tchum, can you come back in? Doesn't refer to that there. This is in Brachas. What is the shab mash lekayem mash neemar be'ahavaso tishge tamid. So obviously in this Yerushalmi, what does tishge mean? No. Wow. Here it translates tishge as intoxicated with her love. Ahavasot tishke tamim means you should be intoxicated with her love. Of course, the Gemara means that this is talking about a woman that represents God. You know, in other words, it's a symbol for God. Okay, but that's what Ahava does for you, because it's emotional. Even the upper love is emotional. Okay? So, one last thing. Avraham is called Zera Avraham Ohavai. It's Pasuk in Yishayahu, it's in his Miros. Right? It's the top of the page. Sota Lavan Aleph from the Aleph makes a big spiel about Avraham being the lover of God. Right? And Rashi on the Pasuk says, on the Gemara, Avram lo ikiruni mitoch tochachav limud avosav, ela mitoch ahava. He didn't follow God because his parents taught him about God, which is true about the rest of us, right? I'm with the program because I was ever since I was 3 years old. I've been indoctrinated, right? You get it, what it means? I have the orthodox. I have my doctrine from my earliest years. That's what we're here for, to teach the true doctrine. Right? But then why, asks Abravanel, when Avram was ready to do the ultimate gift to God, the ultimate giving to God, I'm ready to give you my son. Why does Hashem stop him and say, Atoyo dati ki yirei Elokim ato? Good question. If Avram is the Ohavaya, Avram was ready to give up his son at the Akedah because he was afraid of being punished if he wouldn't have? Or if he was afraid of, he wanted the reward of doing this? Really? Huh? What's our answer? What made Avraham be willing to do this? The higher of the Yira. Good. If it was the lower Yira, okay. You know, in the answer, Yehoshua Heller writes this in his Parish to Pirkei Avos, what difference does it make what gets us to do the right thing, as long as we end up doing the right thing? I hear that. We're talking about Avram here. We're talking about perfecting ourselves. So Kohelet wants to create a perfect human being. Not as perfect as perfect is for us. Very flawed beings. So, okay, you have a good picture here of how, and this is why Kohelet 7 times in the book advises, make sure that you hone your Yiras Hashem. Some may be lowers, but certainly the last one is definitely the higher, because this book is trying to answer life's inconsistencies through the intellect, not through the emotion. Emotion is satisfied with what? I know when I die, I'll have the great equalizer. I'll understand why my father had to lose all of his siblings right in front of his eyes. I'll understand why this terrible natural event took so many lives. I have a sense that, okay, it's an emotional answer. I prop myself up with that. But that's not what this book is about. That's why he can write things like the heresy at the end of chapter 3. He says, who knows if animals go down, humans go up. Who knows? Maybe humans and animals go to the same place after they die. Okay? Now, in chapter 3 and 4, we have those 28 times. Remember we mentioned the 28-year cycle of Birchas Hachama? Right? I think it was 1867, I think it was. 1867, I think. 1868, Shaul Nathanson, the Divrei Shaul, wrote a little pamphlet about Birchas Hachama with an amazing drasha. The drasha starts off wondering why the Magen Avraham connects Birchas Hachama. Do you remember doing any of them? Do you remember one some years ago? Really, you remember? It was Erev Pesach about 10 years ago. So, let me tell you, my father has been through 4 Birkas Hachamas. 4. And he claims he remembers the first one, but it looks by the calendar, it looks like he was only 3 at the time, but 4. Right? No one lives through 5, because you have to be up close, you have to be 122 to live through 5. But if you're young enough to remember the first, right? You have to be like 3 or 4 to remember the first. And then you live, you have to be, it has to be in timing. You have to be very young at the first and live to be 90, 95, 100 to get to 4, right? So anyway, so Shaul Nathanson connected, so he want to know, why does the Magen Avraham say that Birchas Hachama should be said before Sof Zman Kriyat Shema? Right? If there's a time to say Birchas Hachama, it should be at Vasikin, the first sighting of the sun, no? Or maybe at Chatzos, when the sun is at its strongest. But I mean, if you're commemorating the appearance of the sun, it should be the first thing in the morning. What does that have to do with Sof Zman Kriyat Shema? That's it. Magen Avraham just says nearly it should be said before Sof Zman Kriyat Shema. Okay. So Shaul Nathanson suggested that it has to do with the Mishnah in Brachos that says, why is Sof Zman Kriyat Shema 3 hours of the day? What happens at 3 hours of the day that makes us connect Kriyat Shema to the sun, to 3 hours of the day? Because the Gemara says that's when the kings of the world, they're late risers, they wake up and they bow down to the sun, right? And then they go about their business. So I want you to say Kriyat Shema before that happens. Right? So now, right, the connection to Birkas Chama is now pretty clear, but then he goes really in a beautiful direction. He then connects the 28 years of Birkas Chama to these 28 times. Right? Have you ever heard of a Rashi in Bereishis where he says that Wednesday is a day you have to pray that someone should not die of Askira if he's born on Wednesday? And that's why Me'orot, Yehi Me'orot, is spelled like this, without the vavs. This looks like Me'irat, it's a curse. What's the curse of Wednesday? Rashi doesn't tell us. He just says that Wednesday... Oh, no, he does tell us. He goes, because Wednesday is when God allowed jealousy between the sun and the moon. Right? Because he created them to appear the same size. In fact, the moon can sometimes look a lot bigger than the sun, as we just saw this week. But the sun, as we know, is the source of the light. It's much, much bigger. It's just that the moon is much closer. So that's why Wednesday is like a bad luck day, because the jealousy entered nature even before man was here. Right? So where this goes is that the Kli Yakar, Verdem Kli Yakar, Inchitz, Frank Inchitz, Kli Yakar says something amazing. He says, I'll tell you what's wrong with Wednesday. When the sun and the moon was created, it created time. It created the time, the hours, the day, the seasons, the month, the year. There's one thing that's timeless, of course, is Shabbos, because Shabbos doesn't need any of those things to determine it, right? The week is a human, it's a... Or from the Torah, so it says the seventh day, this is what after that seventh day, the week is starting again. You know that the Russians attempted a 10-day week, you hear this? Yeah, because they wanted to have more productivity. You don't have a day off until you've worked 9 days, not 6. Sheshes Yomim Tavavos is Kumal Atech, and they have a day off. They wanted to say, no, 9 days to Tavavos, and rechange and reshape the calendar. Anyway, so because the sun and the moon determine our time periods, this is what's debilitating to man. And here is now where the Divrei Shaul takes over. He says that the 28-year cycle of the sun, in the beginning of the ninth parak of Brachos, it tells us how we come to that cheshbon, connects to the 28 times in Kohelet's parak Gimel. There are 14 pairs. What is the biggest challenge of life, Kohelet is telling us in this parak? To match the time with your action. If it's a time of war and you try to make peace, think Neville Chamberlain, that is an act of war. First day of World War II was not September 1st, 1939. First day of World War II was the day that Neville Chamberlain said, we shall have peace in our time. That's what I sent to Cardinal O'Connor when he said, it's never the time for war, because what are you talking about? It says, Eish Shalom, Eish Shalom, Eish Muhammad. Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right, so that's the 28. Okay. And that's a kol asoyo febi ito. So is my kriyat shema. You see, I wrote Divrei Shaul. Time is a servant of Hashem against sun worship. Because by tying Birkas HaChama into Sofsma Kriyat Shema, we're showing that for us the sun was never an object of worship like it was for the Egyptians. Re'u ki ra neged p'nechem, you get it? Ra is astride. Re'u ki ra neged p'nechem. So what was the next plague if Kapara said that? Koshek. Koshek. Now you see why. I'll show you a sun god, right? Okay. All right, so that's what he's trying to say in these times. The pessimistic thing is, oh my goodness, man. My timing was just off. Okay, so. Okay. We'll just go. We have 10 more minutes. Okay. All right, so. So in Gimel Yud Zayin, I wrote, you see Gimel Yud Zayin, Tzadik Barasha. So once he's saying a time for this, a time for that, I agree. The tzaddik will have his judgment. And the Rasha will. Gimel Yud Zayin, it says. Right after Esakola Soyefebi Ito. God makes everything happen at the right time. The question is, do we? Timing is everything. Once visited the man in the hospital who lost a leg, Nebuch. An ambulance pinned him to the ground after losing control and jumping the curb. Right after he left his apartment downtown, and he left, he's a long hallway to get from the elevator to the front door, and there's always a doorman holding the door for everybody. Today the doorman wasn't there, so he opens the door and he looks behind him and he sees about 30 feet behind him is a woman coming. So he's holding the door for her. That when she's about 15 feet from the door, she stops and looks at her heel. She stepped on something. She's scraping it off of her heel. And he says, all right, I'm not going to hold the door for her anymore. He leaves. Within 1 minute, he's pinned to the ground under an ambulance. If the doorman is there that day, he's 30 feet ahead of the ambulance. If she had not stepped on, who knows what she stepped on, raisin, an M&M that a kid threw out of his carriage 2 minutes earlier. Maybe she knew that that thing was bothering her, but she forgot to take care of it in the house that morning. If she had stopped to answer the phone that was ringing, she wouldn't have been there. He would have gone straight out the door and again would have been 30 feet ahead. Every occasion here gives this man his leg for the rest of his life. Except the very unfortunate one. The doorman wasn't there, right? What can we say? Sakolo seyofe vito. That's why Bobby Richardson caught that ball that Willie McCovey hit with second and third, two outs to end the 1962 World Series. It was an ice cream pop. It was sticking out of his glove. That's it. World Series over. Life is a game of inches, but it's also a game of seconds. Right? We just have to, with Siyata Dishmaya, we're going to start Perek Daled with Hashem next time with that, okay? All right. I think we'll spend maybe two or three more classes on Yom Kippur. The rest of this goes pretty quickly. All right.